Hello, winners! Welcome to episode 2 of Winnie's Money Bites. Money, mindfulness, and everything that comes in between. We're continuing our conversation with
Kristen Yaredig,
the founder of Book of Plans and financial advisor extraordinaire for millennials. We left off our last conversation on the importance of being kind to yourself. Be kind to ourselves. But once we are ready to make some progress, what would you say is a list of priority in terms of what you should address first when you're trying to build a solid financial foundation?
It would depend a bit, but a general hierarchy would be like, I think credit card debt is really toxic. And more than in and of itself being expensive and whatever else, it is usually a symptom of an underlying problem, which is more to do with like budgeting and living outside your means. And I say credit card debt because so many of my clients have it. And I mean, I have worked with low-income clients that were on a fixed Social Security income that had thousands of dollars in credit card debt. Which, by the way, you can get discharged, basically, or you can kind of get out of because they can't sue you for it. All you have is the government income, but your credit gets dropped. But anyway, if that applies to anybody, I just wanted to give that quick tip out there. But if you, I've seen people on a low income that have it, and I've seen, I worked with a couple that had $500,000 of income, and instead of a few thousand in credit card debt, they had $45,000. You know, so it's really this issue that when you pop the hood, like so many people have it. So it's very common if people across the income spectrum just wanting more than they actually can afford and putting it on credit. So that to me would be a really big priority. And the first step to dealing with credit card debt is to stop getting into it. You gotta stop using the credit cards, and that alone is an adjustment. Because you gotta learn to live on your actual pay and not outside of that, which credit cards allows you to do. And next would be to come up with a plan to pay off their credit cards. That can be like paying the highest interest rate first, or sometimes doing balance transfers can make sense to get a lower rate. But coming up with some sort of strategy of how you're going to not pay that off and save at the same time. So if that means you can only pay 10 extra bucks a month up to your credit card, that's all you can pay. But you got to start saving something. And if you find that that's impossible, then bankruptcy is an option for people that have gotten in over their heads. And it's not a bad option. I know people hate to hear that, but if you're really in over your head, it's available to people. And there's a lot of lawyers that will do free consultations, so you can just get more information about it. If credit cards aren't an issue, student loans, you'd want to get on the most appropriate payment plan. That could be a whole segment in and of itself, but you could do some research on income-driven repayments and see if one of those makes sense for you. And saving for an emergency is always part of any plan, and that number can be a first starting point if you don't have one month's rent. Ideally, it would be 3 to 6 months of your expenses, but we got to start somewhere. So that should be a part of your monthly plan, is to start saving for that. And outside of that, would be like freedom fund, saving for the fun things you want to do, saving for long-term goals, and saving for retirement are also would be sort of like people who have some of those first pieces of the puzzle in place. But I say that with a caveat that everybody's situation is different. And in general, that would sort of be an order of priorities, but it depends. If you have a sweet match on your 401k, then I hate to see that money get left on the table. You might bump that up in the order of priorities, things like that. But there can be endless variations and nuances to finances. But speaking in really broad strokes, that's how I would go about it.
Right. I'm going to latch on to, you mentioned emergency fund, and I know you call it by a different name, which I find fascinating, which is...
Ability fund.
One question that we get asked often is, what is an emergency fund? Like, what kind of events would constitute enough of an emergency for me to actually tap into it? And you mentioned it should be about 3 to 6 months of your savings, or rather spendings.
3 to 6 months of your expenses is the ideal. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people, like, start where you are. If you have 1 month's rent, that's a really good starting point, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you haven't had that, that'll feel really good. $500 would be a great place to start. Go for something that, you know, break up a bigger goal into smaller steps. Because if you hear, like, 6 months of your expenses, a lot of times people are like, well, I can't do that. Forget it. And they don't save anything. So a good reason to tap into it, and the reason why I like to call it a stability fund, is because saving for an emergency, it's just not fun. Mm. Nobody's excited about having an emergency fund. But if you think about saving for your own stability, that might be more enticing, and it's really what you are saving for in the end. You're not saving so that an emergency happens. You're saving so that you're stable in the event that something unexpected comes up. So I like to rebrand it in that way, and also you're saving for your own stability. How important is your stability to you? Most of my clients in our first conversation mention security or stability or both of those words, because they're so fundamental to our sense of finances. And I think taking it kind of back a ways, finances are very related to our survival, right? Like, right. in our like primitive brain, we thought about hunting and killing and eating, and that's what money is in a way. It's like it's the currency that allows us to have shelter and the currency that allows us to eat. So there's all this fear and stuff that comes up because it's our survival in this modern age is money. So that's what you're really saving for, is for your own comfort and stability, so that if anything were to happen, it doesn't threaten your very existence and your base sense of stability, which is in many people's cases, like having a home, having electricity, you know, and beyond that, having certain creature comforts. So I think when you rebrand it as a stability fund, you can, what is a qualifying event to then withdraw from your stability fund? That's going to be individual. And what I tell people is, you can ask yourself, will taking out of this fund for this purpose make me more or less stable? And the answer is going to be different, but that'll help you to understand if it's a good reason to tap into your stability fund. Emergency fund's a bit more vague, and the story I always share is that I had an emergency fund. I didn't have any other type of funds. And I had savings there. And then my brother told me that my niece was getting baptized. And he wanted me to be the godmother. And I was going to go to Nevada, where they live, for this baptism. And I was like, okay, I got to buy a ticket and all these things. Obviously, I want to be there. And I was like, all I have is this emergency fund. It's not really an emergency baptism. This is a plan. And it just was, like, confusing in my brain. I was like, can I take out of my emergency fund for this event? Well, I'm going to do it because I'm going to go, and I have money saved, so I'm going to use it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided to separate emergency and freedom fund. But the emergency stability fund, it's easier to think about what then would make you more or less stable when you have funds dedicated for that purpose.
That's really helpful. So we touched on a broad range of topics And obviously, money plays such an integral part in so many aspects of our lives. And I'm wondering, sort of as a closing question, money, life, all of that combined, when you think of winning in life, what does that mean to you?
Winning in life?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I love that question. It means being happy. I don't think that he who dies with the most money wins. You know, what does that mean to you in the end? To me, winning in life is figuring out what you want to do and how to do it. And money is an amazing tool. It's an amazing tool to help you, because so much of what we do in life costs money. So when you frame your relationship with money that way, like, I'm going to use it in this way, and it's going to help me get what I want out of life. It's super empowering and exciting, instead of the reverse, which is like, oh, I can't do this because I don't have the money, where money is always coming up and standing in your way. And I don't think that that process happens, by the way, without sacrifices.
Mm.
For example, I, you know, live generally a lifestyle that I want to live. I don't have cable, you know. I have a very affordable apartment, and I spent a lot of time Airbnb-ing it so that I could get extra income, which is a lot of work. You know, like, you have to decide what's important to you, because you can't do it all. There's not enough money to do it all. There's not enough time and energy to do it all. So I think winning in life is like figuring out what's most important to you, and figuring out how to use money to help you get there. But the there is like being content and satisfied and happy. It's not having investments with an annualized 7% performance, right? Like,
right.
That in and of itself doesn't make me happy. It only makes me happy because it's funding a goal that will allow me to pursue something else I want to do. So I think the way that we look at money is a bit backwards. Like, that's the goal, and it's when you ask, never the goal. The goal is to use it to do something way more awesome than, you know, look at your annualized return.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree that money isn't a goal, but rather a path in, like you said, finding freedom and finding happiness and finding a balance.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to consider your thought-provoking questions.
Winning in life. And that's a wrap for our second episode. I hope the series was an interesting conversation starter with yourself to be a bit more curious about you and your relationship with money. You can find us at wewinnie.com, Kristen at brooklynplans.org, and our theme music was played and produced by Luna Lee. We'll pick this up in episode 3 with student loans. Hope to see you soon.